Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Jim Haig, the Squire for Cry Havoc. Hello, Jim.
Hi.
So, how was Cry Havoc founded?
In a rather curious way, actually. It was about 23, 24 years ago, and the Botley Players, an amateur theatre group, who do an annual pantomime, and they write the scripts of the pantomime themselves. And then one year, this script just happened to include a Morris dance. And a Botley resident at the time, Paul Ferret, and his wife Ruth, Paul had danced with Towersy Morris, a long-established side. And Paul was roped in to teach everyone a Morris dance for the pantomime. Anyway, after they'd done the pantomime, a few of them agreed that this was great fun and bullied Paul into carrying on teaching them. And here we are. This will be our 23rd year now, wow. I think.
And you've got quite an interesting emblem, haven't you?
Ah, the bird.
Yes.
We have the outline of, it's actually a buzzard on the back of our waistcoats. And it's where the name of our side, Cry Havoc, comes from, because Paul was and is a fan of birds of prey. And at the time, he just happened to own a buzzard called Havoc. So, ever since, we've had this bird on the back of it, and everybody asks us, what's that bird?
Brilliant. And how long have you been involved?
Me? Well, I've kind of lost track. I think it's now about 8 or 9 years. I'm certainly not one of the originals, though we do still have a couple of the original members. In my case, I had never danced at all until after a few years of occasionally taking my daughters to ballet lessons and whatever, I found myself getting roped into appearing in a ballet and being taught a very brief dance by my kids' ballet teacher. And then, shortly after that, I ran into Cry Havoc in the summer outside a pub, and we indeed still do, a couple of public participation dances. Come and join in with us. So I got roped up. And it turned out that I actually knew one of the members from a previous life, who said, oh, come along. So very nervously, I remember pushing the door of the WI Hall in Botley open on a Thursday in October and thinking, oh, well, I'll give it a go. This is going to be embarrassing. But it's not terribly difficult. And I found a great bunch of friends and a great bunch of fun, which has changed my life in many ways. I've gone back to playing a musical instrument. Havoc is very keen on a bit of amateur music making and very tolerant of people like me who have very little ability in that direction.
So, when I was researching this, I noticed on your website that the type of Morris dance you do is the Cotswold Morris.
Cotswold, yes.
Yes. I had absolutely no idea there were so many types of Morris dancing. How's the Cotswold different?
How's Cotswold different from the other sorts of Morris? Well, Morris, yeah, it tends to be used as a blanket term for all sorts of English folk dancing these days. Cotswold Morris is what people tend to think of if you ask them to close their eyes and imagine a Morris dance. So we're talking waving hankies around. So half our dances are hanky dances and half of them are stick dances. We bang sticks around as well. And the dances we do come from the traditions of a variety of locations in and around the Cotswolds. Oxford is a really good place for doing Morris dancing because you're at the heart of the Cotswold tradition here. The first dances documented in the modern era were found in Headington. And yes, I do mean Headington just by the A40. And we also do dances from the villages of Adderbury and Bampton and various other locations around the Cotswolds. As to how they differ from the other traditions, I'll have to think about that. The hankies is probably the big one.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah.
Hankies and costume. Our uniform is white trousers, white shirt, waistcoat and baldrics. Now, baldrics are sort of sashes that go from the shoulder to the waist on either side. And if you see somebody dressed in that kind of a uniform, various different colours, possibly with some ribbons around their arms. We don't do that, but other people do. The chances are they're doing Cotswold.
You mentioned that some of the dancers are from local villages or towns. Yeah. Is there a Botley one?
Well, there is now. We have... One of the things I like about Morris is that it is basically a folk tradition. And that means that really there's no right way of doing it. We know Morris is very, very old. We know it's getting on for at least 1,000 years old. What we have absolutely no idea of is what kind of dances people were doing even, say, 400 or 500 years ago. And in fact, if you go to a modern folk festival and look at, say, sides doing Cotswold Morris, even, shall we say, sides doing dances from the village of Bampton, you will discover that there are little differences between them. I've found this out the hard way myself when I've danced with other sides, and something completely surprising happens. I have actually bumped into people in places where, you know, we normally pass left shoulder to left shoulder and then they pass right shoulder to right shoulder or something like that. So there is no right way of doing things. Sides will usually invent their own dances as well, and we're no exception. So we have a couple of dances in what we call the nascent Botley tradition. I mean, you know, this is England. If you do it 2 years in succession, it's a tradition.
What are they called?
One of them is called Mountain Goats, and the other one is called Dogs of War. That's the one that we're most likely to do by far. Over time, I expect we will acquire some more.
Yeah, that's exciting. How long does it take to learn each dance?
Well, that varies. To some extent, it depends on just how much of any kind of dancing you've done before and how much you're used to moving within your own body and that sort of thing. Many people, and I include myself in this initially, had no kind of dance education when we were young. I think this is particularly true of men. And are just not really used to moving your body in any kind of predefined path or to a particular rhythm. It took me, November, December, January, February. It took me about 4 months to learn to do two dances to a semi-presentable standard. Okay. In fact, I'm probably sort of in the average there. We've had people turn up who've had done another sort of dance who will practically pick up a dance in the space of an evening, which is very depressing. Okay. And other people, it takes longer. Luckily, the good thing about Cotswold Morris is that there's really only two basic steps that you have to get the hang of. And one of those is a skip.
Oh, that should be nice and easy then.
So, absolutely. So, actually, you don't have to conquer too much. Mm-hmm. Although we do dances from the traditions of different villages, they do have a fair amount in common. And in particular, you'll find that once you, for example, you know one dance from Bampton, you've probably got most of the basic building blocks you need to do other dances in the Bampton tradition. Basically, I would expect, if anybody would care to come and join us now, and we'd love to see you, Thursday afternoons, WI Hall, Botley, great bit of exercise, gentle exercise, and shed those New Year pounds. I would expect that you'd be able to do one or possibly two dances by the time May comes round to a standard where we'd be quite happy to stick you in some bells and push you out in front of the general public.
And Cry Havoc lets anyone in, it seems, from what you've said.
we are delighted to welcome absolutely anybody. Yes, no previous dancing experience
Fantastic. Necessary.
When people think of Morris dancers, they do sometimes think of it just being a male preserve. This is emphatically not true. Most of Cry Havoc are in fact women. It just so happens I can make it along here and the rest of them can't. So we would love to see anybody, any age, any standard. Our youngest member at the moment is 50, and we have active members right into retirement. Spread across
it's
the age
broad.
Range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's That's good. And Cry Havoc raise money for a charity each year. What charity are you raising for this year?
This year, for the first time, we're repeating. We like to pick a local charity every year. So when we go out and appear in public, we take a couple of buckets with them and shake them around, hopefully. And once or twice a year, we will do an event for which we get paid. You know, we will appear at some kind of show, or we've done a variety of it. We've done weddings in the past. Memorably, we've done a hen party once. They told them they were all going to learn a dance, but they didn't tell them what sort of dance it was. And so 25 very worried-looking women stuck their head around the door expecting to find a pole dancing lesson in progress. Any money we make from that goes towards the charity. Last year, 2015, our charity was the Multiple Sclerosis Therapy Centre in Milton Park, just outside Didcot, and we recently handed over a cheque for £1,000 to them. Our charity for this year is the same charity. It's the same charity as in 1995, the first year we went into charity fundraising. It's Keen, which is a charity that provides activities for special needs youngsters and slightly older than youngsters as well. We recently went down and did a little dance session with them to start the year off. Next time you see a group of Cotswold Morris dancers waving a purple bucket at you, you can be reassured it's not going to our beer fund.
So obviously a very important part of Morris dancing is the music.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering if you could give me a little demonstration.
Oh dear. I've been learning to play a torture instrument called an English concertina for the last 3 years. When I was young, I learned to play the French horn to a not terribly good standard and lost the habit of music. And with Cry Havoc, I've got it back again. Rather than a French horn, which doesn't really fit Morris terribly well, I've spent the last 3 years trying to learn a little bit of English concertina. If you've never seen a concertina, imagine a lozenge-shaped instrument with two sides and bellows in the middle that's about, 10 inches across. And it makes a noise like this. It's similar in a precursor to an accordion. Seven stars. But no, after every dance out that we do in the summer, or indeed after every practice session, those of us who like to do so will gather and play tunes together. At the moment, we meet after practice at the Sea Court in Botley and spend an hour, hour and a half just playing a variety of tunes, some of which you might recognise, most of them are traditional English or Irish tunes, though Oxford is a hotbed of folk music of various descriptions. Mm. We have an increasing repertoire of Scandinavian tunes, which I've only learnt a couple of so far because I'm not very good. The instruments that come along, well, I'm not the only concertina. There's a couple of other concertinas. Melodeons, which are button accordions.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay, they look like accordions, but they have buttons rather than a piano keyboard. We do have an accordion player as well, several violin players, a cello player, and actually several people who play more than one instrument.
So if people want to get involved and go to the next session, where can they find you?
Well, they can find us every Thursday evening from 8 o'clock onwards at the WI Hall in Botley, which is on North Hinksey Lane. If they'd like to look at our website, which is www.cryhavoc.org.uk, there's some pictures of us and some details about where exactly we meet, where the WI Hall is, and the sort of things we get up to in the hall as well. And we'd absolutely love to see anybody who'd like to come and give it a try.
Yeah, brilliant. When's your next performance?
Our next performance? Well, the next one that I know about is going to be at the Oxford Folk Weekend, which is late April. And I hope you will be seeing us again on May morning. Last year on May morning, we danced for the Friends of the Botanic Gardens. You may know the Botanic Gardens in Oxford are just over the road from Magdalen Tower. It's an ideal place to watch the festivities on May morning. And the Friends of the Botanic Gardens have a little do there every year. And they have a little entertainment before all the business starts at the tower. We've been lucky enough to do it twice now. I'm hoping we're going to be doing it this year as well. But it does mean starting dancing at 5:15 in the morning. By the time that you make it up to Broad Street, and you're in need of a drink. I think it was 8 o'clock in the morning this time round. May morning obviously is a great time to be a Morris dancer. It's the only time you can push your way through a crowd going, let me through, I'm a Morris dancer. There's lots of people around watching you, mm-hmm. and you get to dance around the city as well, which is fun. But we'll be doing that on the Oxford Folk Weekend, which is late April.
Fantastic.
As well, getting our annual chance to obstruct Corn Market.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jim.
My pleasure.